Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, and we'll be looking at actually 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians quite a bit here and turning back and forth in these sections. And so you can kind of thumb to that section and be ready here in just a moment. The year was 1962. A dear little elderly Christian woman prepared to go to church that blustery winter morning. She was a widow and didn't have much money, but she had long ago determined that she was going to be a tither, that she was going to give God of the first portion of her income. But she also had a great passion and a great commitment in her soul to give to missions. And so that blustery morning, she folded a few bills into the little offering envelope that she had there and got into her 52 Packard 200 and headed to the little country church in southern Minnesota. That morning, she gave in the offering to her church. Part of her money went to missions. Her church gave to various missionaries throughout the world, but they'd also determined that they were going to support church planting right here in Minnesota. A portion of that little widow's offering went to help a church planter who was just beginning to work in the thriving little town of Coon Rapids. That widow had a part in planting Coon Rapids Baptist Church. 6 months later, two siblings were working hard in the garden. As they were working hard in the garden to pull weeds, it was an older girl. She was 8 and her little brother 5, and they were pulling weeds and trying to earn money so that they could have something to put into the vacation Bible time offering that happened at their church in Owatonna the next morning. And as that little girl and her little brother there were pulling weeds and trying to earn money there, by the end of the day, they had earned up a 25 cents that they'd be able to put in the offering in their vacation Bible time. Their church had decided that the offering for that particular day was going to go to help with church planting in Minnesota, in a thriving little town called Coon Rapids. And there that little boy and that his older sister had a part, contributing 25 cents in 1962 to help start Coon Rapids Baptist Church. 55 years later, think of the fruit that that widow woman and these two little kids had through this church. Think of souls that have been saved. Think of boys and girls that have been taught the gospel and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ through a Sunday school. Think about the lives that have been invested in through a Christian school. Think about how the gospel's gone out throughout the community. Think of how missionaries have then been supported out of Coon Rapids Baptist Church as a result of their investment financially in missions and in starting a church in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. What an awesome thing. I want to talk to you about something today from the Word of God that is really an awesome principle of how God has put it together. I want to talk about a way in which you can impact people all around the world. It's a way that you, right here in Coon Rapids, can impact people in Japan for the rest of their earthly existence. It's a way that you can impact people in Peru for all of eternity, from right here in Coon Rapids. It's really an awesome thing. I want to talk to you today about something that you can do that really doesn't take a whole lot of work in some aspects. It's something that you can put and see fruit come forward from it without a whole lot of effort into it. You may be at the stage of life in which you don't have a whole lot of extra effort to give towards something. You may be at the stage of life in which things are really, really busy, and so the idea of putting more effort into something and more energy into something and more work into something just sounds like trying to put another 5 bushel of something onto 1 dinner plate. And it's impossible. How are you ever going to accomplish it? But what I want to challenge you with here today is something that you can be involved in that doesn't, in some senses, take a whole lot of extra work and effort. I want to challenge you with something that impacts people. Not just impacting people for a one-time purchase or a purchase that's going to last 50 years, but something that's going to last millions and even billions of years. I want to challenge you with something that you can do that's really exciting, that you get to use something that doesn't even belong to you. What I'm going to talk to you about today is a way that you're going to use something. It doesn't even belong to you. It's not even yours. But God's made it so that you can use it to accomplish all of these different things. Impacting people without even leaving the area. It can be something in which you're making a difference in people's lives for all of eternity, and you don't even have to use your own things for it in some regards. It's pretty an awesome thing that God's put together here. This awesome plan that I want you to consider here before us. And on top of it, you add all of this in there, and you find out that on top of it, God rewards you for doing it. You get to use something that doesn't even belong to you to impact people without leaving, without a whole lot of extra energy, and on top of it, God gives you reward for it. I mean, this is an awesome plan. This is an awesome thing that we have here in front of us, and I want to talk about financially supporting missionaries. I want you to consider that truth from the Word of God of giving to missions in a financial way. Pretty amazing what God has lined up for us. Our church is on a mission. Our mission is over here on the wall of making friends into followers of Jesus Christ. That's our goal, is to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And every year, often in the month of March, we emphasize worldwide missions. The first 5 years that I was here, we emphasized especially the worldwide aspect of it and really thought about the gospel to all corners of the globe. Last year and this year as well, we're going to more emphasize reaching our own area because we've got to keep the fire hot here. We've got to keep reaching people with the gospel and for the cause of Christ, even right here as well. It matters that we make friends in the followers of Christ right here, but there's also an aspect of making friends in the followers of Christ around the world. Both are important. So we have this challenge of seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior here. I want to challenge you in that regard here. The scripture says we're supposed to teach all nations, Matthew 28 and verse number 19. In Mark 16 and 15, it says preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts 1 and verse number 8, it tells us that we are supposed to be witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's a global perspective here that we're supposed to have. And I want to ask you today, how are you going to reach around the globe? You see, the Bible says in those passages I just mentioned that you are supposed to take the gospel around the globe. And you're supposed to have you're supposed to have some part in getting the gospel all around the world. So how are you going to do that? Are you going to stop your job right now and start traveling the globe? What are you going to do to start sharing the gospel with other people around the globe? Teaching all nations, preaching the gospel to every creature. And we come to understand that one of the great ways that we can do it is instead of always having to go to every person on our own, instead we get to support other people who go in our place. Supporting them financially so that they can go, because we can't reach every single person on our own. We can support others financially so that they can go. And so today I am going to be talking about money. Maybe you say, I don't know, this is a pretty scary thing for pastor to be talking about money here, and he just wants our wallet, and he just wants our pocketbook here, and our bank account. But let me just mention a couple things here. Let's not be afraid to talk about money. Number one, your money belongs to the Lord. I said this morning, I'm going to talk about something that you get to use for God's glory that doesn't even belong to you. That's your money. So when we talk about money, I shouldn't even say your money because it's not your money. It's God's money in your pocket. It's God's money in your mutual fund. The money that you're going to spend to go out for lunch today is God's money in your pocket. Haggai, we're going to see this. He says the silver and the gold is mine. It's when we talk about finances here, we're not even talking about your money. We're talking about God's money. Let's not be afraid to talk about it. Number two, let's not be afraid to talk about it because money moves your heart. Matthew chapter number 6, verses 21 to 24, talk about money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We as a church are passionate about seeing people become followers of Jesus Christ, dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ. We want them to have their heart going after Jesus Christ with all of their heart. And if we want people to have that kind of a heartbeat for God, we are going to have to talk about money. We're going to have to talk about finances because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you don't do the right thing with your finances, with your money, then your treasure is not, your heart is not going to be in the right spot. So it matters. Money moves your heart. Tells you where your heart is. The third reason I want to talk about money today is this. Your money for missions doesn't come to me at all. I'm not bothered by talking about it at all because your money for missions doesn't come to me at all. We have a separate budget here for our missions money. You give to missions, that money doesn't go to pay the pastor, it doesn't go to pay the light bill, it doesn't go to pay any of the programs. The money that comes into missions goes out for missions. And so for that simple reason, it's very easy to talk about that as well. So we're going to talk about financially supporting missions. Now when we talk about financially supporting missions, there are different ways that different churches do it. All right? And I want to talk to you about how Coon Rapids Baptist Church financially supports missions. As you look around the world, and this list is not exhaustive, here are a couple different ways that churches do it. Some churches take all the money that they make for missions, that they bring in for missions, that people give towards missions, and they send it to headquarters somewhere. And headquarters takes all of that money, and when somebody wants to be a missionary, they just apply at headquarters, and headquarters says, okay, we'll send you out as a missionary. And they just write the check to the person applies to the headquarters, and really, in some senses, as far as I can tell, the local church is somewhat disconnected from that. The local church doesn't have accountability with that person. The person isn't reporting. They're not sending their prayer requests back to that church. The responsibility, the obligation is between headquarters and that missionary. That's not the way that we support missions here. Some people, when they support missionaries, they support them with an occasional offering. Now, we did an occasional offering last week because we had one of our missionaries in town, but we don't support our missionaries exclusively that way. That was a special occurrence. Some people, that's the only way that they support missionaries. Every once in a while, they take a special offering, and if everybody's excited about missions that day, there's a great gift. If not, then there's not so much. And many of them don't even take on consistent missionaries. They just, this month we're going to give to these people, this month we're going to give to these people, this month we give to these people. And there's no connection, there's no ongoing accountability, there's no prayer support, there's not nearly as much connection as there is in other methods that are out there. Some churches support in that fashion as well. Some churches budget out of their regular budget for missions. That's fine to do so. But our church uses a program called Faith Promise Missions Giving. Faith Promise is going to missions, and it's called Missions Giving. And I want to talk to you, and I want to share some scriptures with what the Word of God has to say. Now, listen, you may be here today and you say, Pastor, listen, why are you talking about Faith Promise Missions Giving? Well, there's two reasons that I want to talk to you about. Number one, we've got new folks in our church that have come since the last time I talked about this. And so it may be that they're looking and they're going to say, okay, you're going to talk about missions giving in the month of March. What is this all about? So I want to explain it to folks. But number two, you say, well, Pastor, I've been here for a lot of years and I've heard this before. Why are we going over this before? Well, my question is this. If one of our new folks came up to you and said, all right, you use this faith, whatever, missions giving thing. Can you explain that to me? How does this work? Where's the Bible passage? What Bible passage do you go to explain that? Could you open your scriptures and be able to take them to some passages and say, you know, here's some principles that we use to validate, to explain this idea of faith, promise, missions, giving. So it's important for us to understand what the Bible has to say. And it's an exciting thing for us. Because we, like that little boy and girl investing in our church, like that widow woman who gave another part of Minnesota, gave in an offering, and that money eventually found its way here to our church and helped start our church. It's an exciting opportunity. And I want to challenge you with this simple truth today. Prayerfully consider how God would have you to participate in Faith Promise Missions Giving. I want to challenge you to prayerfully consider how God would have you to participate in this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look at this. Lord, thank you for, again, the people who came and shared the gospel with us. Help us to be just as faithful in sharing the gospel with others and supporting missionaries who will go and share the gospels with others as well. The gospel. Lord, we do pray that you would bless as we look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through four key words and explain those words, and we'll be done. We'll be done by midnight. All right. First word that I want you to see is the word missions. All right. I want you to look at the word. I want you to consider the word missions. And we're going to go to the scripture in just a moment. There are many passages. Some of them I'm just going to reference in passing. But I want you to think about these things and jot down what would be helpful to you. In Matthew 28, Jesus Christ commands our church, he commands you as a Christian, to be involved in teaching all nations. How then, how are dollars needed to advance this mission? Well, we could take the time, and we just don't have that time here, to go back to Numbers chapter 18. You can look at it this week if you want to, but Numbers chapter number 18, almost the entire chapter, talks about God's plan in the Old Testament that the Jewish people were supposed to give to support the priests and the Levites. The priests and the Levites were in charge of leading the spiritual work. And so God gave this principle that those who were leading in the spiritual work were supposed to be supported and cared for by the offerings and the giving of God's people. God made that principle very clear in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 18. As we come to the New Testament, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll see that God continues that principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 9. Verse 9 says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?" In other words, if we've ministered you spiritually, is it that big of a deal if you should take care of our needs? He's talking about Paul as a minister of the gospel. "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." And so the Apostle Paul here talks about this idea, this Old Testament principle that God gave, that those who minister of the gospel should be cared for financially by the gifts of God's people. That was a principle that God gave. Other passages bring that out. 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18, where it talks about the elders that rule well be worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and of doctrine here. And so ordinarily, ministers of the gospel should live off of the giving of God's people that they lead to Christ, that the church is, that they are feeding. That's the way God put it together. And really, it's an awesome thing. Nehemiah chapter 13, you could write this down as well, verses 10 through 13. Nehemiah is trying to rebuild not only the wall, but the people here. And Nehemiah realizes, he looks out one day and he's like, "Where's the Levites? Where's the priests? How come they're not in the temple?" Someone says, "Well, they're out back planting corn, and they're over here harvesting this, and they're over here doing that, and they're out working in the fields and stuff." What do you mean? They're supposed to be in the temple. They're supposed to be leading spiritual things. And Nehemiah realizes, listen, if God's people are going to grow and thrive and be spiritually strong as they ought to be, Nehemiah says, listen, God's people have to give financially so that these priests and these Levites can be supported and they can give themselves with their full-time attention to caring for the work of God's people. That's the principle that God gave. And so why should we give to missions? Well, as we think about this here, these people are over there and they're trying to share the gospel with people. Paul says here, I want you to come back here to the same passage. Let's pick up the next verse. Pick up verse 12 again, rather. "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." He says, listen, when I came, and you can read the next couple of verses, he explains it more fully. He says, when I came in to share the gospel with you at Corinth, I wasn't sharing the gospel and at the next moment saying, "Okay, now pay me for it." So that'd be kind of challenging, you know? People would all of a sudden be suspect, you know? You're just sharing this gospel because you're trying to get paid. And so though God has given the principle that a minister of the gospel should be supported by the people that he reaches, when it comes to missions, Paul says, you got to be careful in this. We don't want to hinder the gospel here so that these preachers are coming in with this and communicating this idea that they're just trying to get people saved so that they can pay their own bills and so that they can live off other people. We didn't want to hinder the gospel in that way. So we give to missionaries so that they can come in and freely share the gospel with the lost. It's an important thing. It's an important thing because then they can also focus full time. They don't have to work another job, but they can focus full time in sharing the gospel with the lost in those communities that they are going to. So when we understand missions here, when we understand this truth of it, we give to God, and we give to God in missions so that we can really help out here in this way. Paul modeled this pattern with the Philippian church. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 and Philippians 4 verse 15, the Philippian church, man, they got saved. These people got saved, they got part of the church, and right away they started participating in Paul's ministry. They supported him financially, supported him Paul financially on several occasions here. It was a blessing to Paul's ministry. And so there's a biblical precedent for us to support missions. Ethically, it keeps the people that they're trying to share the gospel from wondering if our missionaries are just out for their money. Practically, it allows the missionary to go to that field and focus solely on sharing the gospel because we back home are financing them. We back home are giving and investing in their work. You know what? It's an awesome thing to invest in those works. It's an awesome thing to invest in those people. What an investment for that widow woman to make in giving in that offering that helped to start Coon Rapids Baptist Church. What an awesome investment of even that quarter in investing in Coon Rapids Baptist Church. We're investing in the cause of mission. Some time ago, I was speaking with some people about an investment, and the number was some $13,000 invested over a space of a few years. And it brought in some $4,000 in round numbers. Now, compared to what you get in your wonderful savings account, I was pretty excited about that number. I thought, wow, that was pretty good. I wouldn't mind being invested in something like that. Another time I heard about a farmer. The farmer was selling off some acres of farmland at a really good price. I'm thinking, wow, the people were able to buy land off this farmer at this price. And I was thinking, man, I should be buying some land and owning it and renting it out to some farmer somewhere as some sort of investment. We like to find investments like that. But think of the investment when you give financially to missions. You give so that other people can know your great God. You give so that other people can have peace in their souls. You give so that other people can have a spiritual family when nobody else cares for them and their family walks away from them. You give so that other people can take their burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You give so that other people around the world can enjoy all of these wonderful blessings. God calls a person to the missions field. Here's a person, God calls and he says, you know what, I want you to be a missionary. And they go and they get some training and they get some preparation. And as they pray, God says, you know what, this is the place I want you to go. And he guides and directs them to that place. And then they say, okay, we need some churches to partner with us and to support us financially and in prayers. And so they go around and connect with different churches. And God leads these churches to take them on. And they go eventually then to that country, to that place, and they share the gospel. The church provides the finances. The missionaries provide the body, if you will, the labor to do it. They partner together in giving and working in missions here. In the mid-1970s, as we heard last week, God called a young couple to be missionaries in Japan. They prepared in Bible colleges and then sought for God's churches to support them. As you talk to the Gardeners, you'll know that they have churches from literally coast to coast that support their missions work over there in Japan. For over 40 years, they've labored in the gospel. They've led children to Christ. They've led adults to Christ. They've discipled these Christians. They've started churches. He's worked in a Bible college so that they could train other Japanese people to be pastors over there. They've had a Christian camp ministry. They've gone in our place. And we've invested in them. A person who's never left the state can give money whose money leaves the country and goes around the world and invests in these people. So when we think about missions here, we understand that we're supporting these folks in this way. Another word that I want you to see is the word promise, and I want you to consider this word promise, number two. In order for people to give money to support missions, it's going to be necessary that they are prepared to give. And when you find this principle, when people are prepared to give and have decided in advance what to give, their giving will be both cheerful and bountiful. Notice, go to now 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. While you're turning there, I want to make that statement again. When people are prepared to give and have decided in advance what to give, their giving will be cheerful and bountiful. It's brought out here in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, he's decided, determined in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. None of us really like money to be wrangled out of us. If you do see me afterwards, I'll do lots of wrangling. All right? None of us really like to have money wrangled and twisted and yanked out of us. It's just not the way we as humans are. But when that need has been presented in advance, and we can pray about it, and we can get excited about it, and we can say, God, what would you have me give? And then we can, as verse 7 says, purpose or determine that we're going to give in this way, then our giving is going to be much more enthusiastic. Now go back to chapter number 8 and look at verse number 10. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, and I'm going to stop there. Did you notice all the different words? Paul is writing to these Corinthians and he says, hey, listen, a year ago we presented this need and you guys got excited about it. I mean, you had a willing mind. He uses other expressions in here. There was a readiness to will. You were forward. There was a zeal that these people had. There was an enthusiasm. There was an excitement. And evidently, they had made a commitment a year ago that they were going to give towards this need that Paul had presented. It was such an exciting thing for Paul that these people were going to give to it that Paul had used them as an example and said, hey, listen, hey, the church in Corinth is going to be giving. What would you consider giving towards this need as well? Well, now a whole year's gone by, and though they've promised that they're going to give, they haven't given yet. And so Paul has to write these couple chapters to say, hey, listen, you were excited about this giving. Now follow through with it. They had made a commitment. They had made a promise that they were going to give. That was part of it here. Now they needed to give through their church. Go look at chapter 9 and verse 5. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Paul says, listen, you guys made a commitment a year ago to give. You haven't given yet. In a little while, I'm going to be passing through your town. We're going to send somebody through your town to give this, to collect the offering. He says, we don't want you to be embarrassed when we get there in town. So I've sent some other people in advance so that you guys would be all ready to give. You'd have all your giving all done, and your giving would be done out of bounty, not out of covetousness, us just wanting money out of you. Give to your church and have it prepared. So these people, we see some indications here that there was a time in which they had been willing, been zealous about it, and had made some level of commitments to God and to Paul that they were going to give in this regard. And this is where this idea of promise comes into. A decision, a promise that you're going to give. There's some practical blessings to faith, promise, missions, giving. You know that a promise decision guides your giving? I want you to write these four truths down if you don't mind. A promise decision guides your giving. You have a goal because you've made a commitment. This is what we're going to give. And you get together with your spouse. You get together as a family and say, we want to give, okay. Now this is what we've decided. This is what God's laid on our heart to give to missions. And now you have a goal. Now you have something that's going to guide you. And it's not going to be just about somebody getting up on Sunday, pastor getting up and saying, now I want to give you a motivational speech as to why we should give to this. And the next week I've got to come up with another motivational speech. And so now you're going to give to this. No. You've made the decision. It's going to guide your giving. And it's not based on how you're feeling. It's not based on your current finances. It's not based on if you have any leftovers to give God. You've made a commitment there. Number two, it organizes your giving. You know how much you're going to give. When you make a promise, when you make a commitment, you know. You can plan on it. You can plan on it. The church can plan on it. The missionaries can plan on it. You know, the missionaries are sitting on the other side of the globe serving God. Can you imagine what it would be like one month to open up and find out, okay, wow, we got this much money next month. Oh, wow, we don't. You know, it's nice when it's a consistent thing. I realize we're all trusting God, and I realize we all don't know the future. But when there's a commitment, when there's a decision, when there's a promise here, it helps you to know what you're giving. It helps the church to know, okay, we have this much that we can give to missions, and it helps the missionary to have some reliability and some confidence in what they're going to have. Number three, it prioritizes giving. You fail to plan, you plan to fail. But what we plan to do is what gets done. And we make a commitment that we're going to give to missions, whether it's a weekly basis or a monthly basis or whatever. It keeps it as a priority before us. And missions is supposed to be a priority. The Great Commission is making disciples all around the world. And so when we make a commitment to give, it prioritizes that giving. And giving has always been a priority to God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10 tell us that we're supposed to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all of our increase. Giving is supposed to be a first priority to God. Fourth thing I want you to notice about a promised decision here is that it increases giving. It really does increase giving. You would think that if somebody was just a great motivational speaker and they could tell you about all these needs around the world, that there would be huge big offerings and that would be a much greater way to give. But Paul doesn't talk that way. He says in that verse number 5, giving as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness here. Really, it's when you make the plan and you say, we're going to give at this level and we're going to make the decision we're going to give, that consistency is actually what gives more. Because it's a commitment, it's a promise, and you're going to follow through on days when you don't feel like it and days when you do because you have character and because you're going to keep that commitment that you make. So there's important practical things and some important biblical precedents here for that promise. We give way more to missions because we promise it this way. This week I'm going to be taking a day on Friday to go down to Rosemont for the Max Junior High festival down there. The junior high students throughout Minnesota Association of Christian Schools all gather together and they can compete in various different competitions, and I'm judging, I believe, some preaching on Friday. Now it's a busy week and I've got several different things on my plate. If the coordinator of that festival would have called me on Friday and said, hey, we need a judge to give all day Friday of next week to go down, I probably would have thought about it really hard and been pretty reluctant. He asked me a year ago. As soon as last year's festival went out, he sent me an email and he said, hey, listen, I'm looking for a judge for next year. Can you do it? Yeah. And you know what? I put it in my calendar and I planned it. Yeah, it's still going to be a busy week, but I've been seeing it coming and I know it's coming, and I'm much more willing to give him a whole day of my week when we don't have any kids from our school going. I'm willing to give to that. I'm not patting myself on the back, not at all, but I'm trying to give you an illustration. Listen, when we can promise it out and plan it out, we'll actually give more towards it. So there's an importance to that commitment, that promise, that decision, that purposing in our hearts. And so we've talked about the word missions. We've talked about the word promise. The third word that I want to consider is that word giving. It is that word giving. And would you turn back with me? I need to go so quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Chapter 16, just a few pages. 1 Corinthians 16. I just want you to notice a couple key words real quick here. This is on giving, a little different context, but this is also on giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, okay, the collection, the giving, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, that's the Lord's day, that's Sunday, let every one of you, I want you to notice that expression, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Notice that expression, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so here, as he's talking about this giving here, he mentions two quick things that I want you to notice. First of all, he talks about everyone being involved. Every single person. Listen, we ought to be involved in missions and we ought to be prayerfully considering what God would have us to do. We ought to all be involved, but it's all at a different level. It's all at a different level. As God hath prospered him. And some of us may not be able to be involved at such a level. We're down here at this level. Others are involved at this level because God's prospered them in a different way. And that's exactly what God has made it to be. We don't have time, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 10 through 15, in that window, he looks at these people and he says, listen, if you would just give what you need to give and what God leads you to give, and this person would give what God would have them to give, the need will be met. God takes care of it. And he goes to the Old Testament with manna and he says God was able to provide all the manna that they needed on the sixth day of the week and one day that had enough to last over for the Sabbath day, and the rest of the week that process didn't work, and God can make sure that everybody had what they needed. And you may look and you can say, God has led me and God has prospered me in such a way that I can give, and you feel like it's a small amount. And you say, I don't know if that's really making a difference. But you know what? God knows exactly how much you have. He's put His money in your wallet. He's put His money in your bank account. And if you'll give what God has prospered you, God will meet the needs. God will take care of the needs. He's prospered some over here at this level, and He's prospered some over here at this level. And what an awesome and a wonderful thing it is. It's so freeing. It's so fair. Because everybody's involved, and yet they're involved according to how God has prospered them. It's such a wonderful principle that God has given to us. Now here I am, I'm thinking about giving, and I'm thinking about challenging you with giving, and though it's God's money in my wallet, I kind of have a tendency, I don't know about you, to begin to think that it's my money, you know, and so here I am talking about giving on Sunday and challenging you with this aspect, and yet one of our vision statements for our church is we want to be more refreshing than a Northwoods cabin. And so here you're coming to church, and we want to be refreshing, and we want you to walk away being refreshed, and pastor's going to challenge you to take some money out and give it in the offering. How is that refreshing? Pastor, that wasn't refreshing, that hurt. How is that consistent? And then I got to thinking about these words from Acts, how Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I got to thinking, you know what, if I want to give you a blessing, if I want to put you in a position where you can be refreshed, where you can be excited, I'm going to have to teach you about giving. Because one of the greatest joys is giving to other people. We don't think so because we're selfish people, but one of the greatest thrills in life can be to give to other people. I grew up on a farm, and we often had farm-raised, corn-fed beef in our freezer. We ate a lot of beef and enjoyed beef. And one day in the summer, in the first part of June, we would go to the strawberry patch in the area, and it was a big family affair, and we would go pick all the berries and bring them home and stem them and cut them and make strawberry jam for the next year. And we would cord them, put them in bags, freezer bags. And so all year long, we could have strawberry shortcake and things like that. And so in our freezer, there was a lot of times in which we would have farm fresh beef, and we would have homemade sweet corn in the freezer, and we would have homemade strawberry jam and these different things. And it wasn't me, but my parents often had a thing when visiting speakers would come through town. They just enjoyed throwing a few bags of these different things into a Walmart bag and dropping it off for them. Visiting speakers could come in, and they would give them some roast or a steak or something like that off the farm, and they'd give them a little jar of homemade fresh jam, and they just loved it. My parents, it was just something that they just really enjoyed, giving some of this to meet the needs of other people. Do you know the joy of giving? Do you know the refreshment it is to give to other people? Do you know the joy it is to say we were able to give that money last week to our missionaries, the gardeners? Do you want something refreshing? Get involved in giving. And so we looked at the word missions. We looked at the word promise. We looked at the word giving. And finally, I want to challenge you with the word faith. The word faith. To be honest, all of your giving is by faith. All giving is by faith, because you're going to have to depend on God to meet your needs on the rest of what you have. You're going to have to depend on the fact that God can meet your needs now if you tithe on 90% of your income instead of on 100%. And to be honest, that takes faith. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. I want you to see this. You see, as you have this faith, and we think about faith, promise, missions, giving, faith to give what? 8 and verse 12, 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, some people were saying, well, listen, I can't give in the offering because what I'm thinking is if I would just wait until next month, well, I'll have more money, and so I'll give then. He says, listen, God is not waiting until the future and that. He says, listen, give out of what you have now. Give out of what you have. And you know what? That's going to take faith, because it's going to cause you to rely upon God and say, God, I'll give based on this, and I'm going to depend upon you to meet my needs based on what I have left over. Sometimes when we talk about faith, promise, missions, giving, we forget that it's faith to give out of what we already have. It isn't always saying, God's going to give me more. Now, that is a second aspect of it. And there was a sense, if you look at the beginning part of the chapter, go to chapter 8 and verse number 3. Chapter 8 and verse number 3, he talks about these other people that gave, and he says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. He said, now these people in their church, they gave not only out of their own ability, but they gave beyond their ability. And sometimes, as you pray and say, God, what would you have me to give towards missions? As you pray about that in that matter, sometimes God's going to lead you to give out of what you already have. But sometimes God challenges people to give based on faith that God will give them more to make up for it. And one Old Testament example of that is Genesis 28 and verse number 20, Jacob. Jacob is fleeing for his life, and he's fleeing for a wife. He's trying to get away, and he's going to go find a wife, and God meets with him there, and Jacob makes this promise. God, I've got nothing but the clothes on my back. I'm running for my life. But God, if you'll bless me, I'll give to you a tenth of all my income. He doesn't even have it, but he's already promising to give God a portion of it. There's an Old Testament precedent there for there being times in which we say, God, by faith, I'm praying that you would give me more so that I can give more to missions. So sometimes faith promise missions giving is giving out of what you have. Sometimes it's if God leads you to do it, you want to make sure you have his leading, that you might say, God, if you'll bless me more, I'm going to give more to missions. Faith promise missions giving. And faith is an awesome thing. It's not dependent upon me. It's not depending on my abilities. It's not depending upon my income and my wealth. I am depending upon God to provide for me. There was a man named Ron that once worked with a class of mentally impaired teenagers. And he looked at their capabilities instead of looking at their limitations. And he really helped them in several areas. He was able to work with them and teach them how to play chess. And he taught them how to restore furniture so that it was beautiful. And he taught them how to repair different electrical gadgets and appliances and things like that. Taught them to believe in themselves that they could do different things. And so one day there was this one teenager and he came walking in with a toaster. And this toaster was broken and needed to be repaired. And as he walked in, he had a toaster on one arm and he had half a loaf of bread on the other. He fully believed he was going to be able to repair that toaster because he came with the bread in hand, ready to bake, cook that, toast that bread once he got it fixed. Faith is an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. If we want to be refreshing here as a church, I'm going to challenge you to have faith in our God, that God can meet your needs. And as you give to missions that, and follow His leading and giving the amount that He wants you to give, that God will provide for you and you'll enjoy resting in that great God. And so how does our church support missions? We support it with faith promise missions giving. And so each year we have an opportunity to do so. And I just want to explain it here. We have a little commitment slip. We don't know your name. We don't want your name anywhere on this. It's really a commitment between you and God, but it lets us to be able to plan. And you pray and you ask God, God, what would you have me to give financially to missions? And you have this entire month. These can be turned in any time in the month of March. You pray, and it's kind of like a check. You write down if you want to give so much on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis. Tear off the stub to remind yourself of what your commitment was and put it in the offering. We won't know who this is from. We'll never ask you for it because we won't know who made these commitments. But it allows us to make commitments to our missionaries that we'll be able to support them at certain levels for this next year. So in that way, we give to missions. We make a promise. We give, and it's by faith. And what an exciting thing it is. I don't have to stand up here each and every week and try to give a motivational speech to try to get everybody to give more the next week. No, we've spent the time. We've talked to God. We've asked Him about His money that's in our wallet. God, what would you have me to give? And so today I hope that this brief time of looking at the Word of God has given you some biblical understanding of this principle and the way that we give here in our church. If you have questions about it, I'd be happy to explain them further at a later time. But I want to challenge you. Would you prayerfully consider how God would have you to participate in faith, promise, missions, giving?
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.